Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Well, well, well. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're really, really glad to have you. And in these cold winter months, it's interesting because I think love is 365 days a year. So it is going on all the time, as is our sexuality. And to keep it healthy and happy, sometimes it could be really interesting because the 11th annual Vancouver Taboo Show, the Naughty But Nice Show, is coming up on January the 19th to the 22nd. So if you haven't joined our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/sexyandvancityradio, please do so and leave a comment about tonight's show and you could win tickets, which would be great. Or if you're following us on Twitter at sexyandvancity, you can leave a tweet about the show if you're listening in and perhaps you might be lucky enough to win tickets. I am very excited because in lieu of going to the Taboo Show, which for those of you who've never been before, there are all sorts of things. There's performances, there's workshops, there are all sorts of vendors that are selling different things in terms of sexuality. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's light, sometimes people go with their friends, their family, etc. But with that, it's really important to know how much is too much sexuality and how to basically see if you are in a relationship, basically, is there such thing as life after happily ever after? So I'm really excited to have with me on the show today. I've got Dr. Lynn Pichet, and she's calling in to give us some tidbits and giving us some help so we can figure out where we need to go to bring in stuff, quite frankly. So Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So in regards to sexuality, what is too much in this day and age?
Well, you know, it's very, very individual.
Okay.
The funny thing with the too much is everybody really has their own limit of what's too much.
Mm.
And so everything that I talk about and that I'll be talking about during my workshops in Taboo mm-hmm. have to do with sexual balance and trying to make sure that you have a really good fit with your sex life and everything else that's part of your life.
That makes a lot of sense. And a lot of us, especially with New Year's, are searching for balance, and it makes all the more sense because if anything's out of balance, including sex life, it can tilt everything, can't it?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there's some obvious indicators if, you know, you're doing the too much sex thing, you know, you stop going to work and you spend all your time on the couch watching porn. Those would be too much.
And that's very easy to do these days with the internet. So.
Absolutely. It is very easy with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for most people, it's more subtle than that. And it really has to do with some of the choices we make in life around, you know, what am I choosing to do? Am I choosing to spend a lot of time on the internet? Am I choosing to go out and meet people?
Mm.
How is that fitting into my life? And how important is sex for me overall?
And in terms of addiction to sexuality, can it be to the point where somebody's choosing porn over their partner to the degree that they're actually ignoring in terms of actually getting in very intimate with somebody? And I mean intimacy emotionally as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head when you talked about how easy it is with the internet to have access to sex. For a lot of people who are spending too much time with sex, what happens is it's easier and it's quicker to masturbate watching some porn than it is mm-hmm. to actually be intimate with your partner. And because that, of course, takes more work and you have to have a healthy relationship. And there's lots of positive things, but things that require energy and attention and communication that needs to go into it.
It is a lot of work to make happily ever after work, isn't it?
It is. It's nothing in life is easy, unfortunately. And we're bombarded by images in the media mm. about these very easy relationships where people meet and they get together and everything's perfect and they have great sex and there is a flow there that in real life we tend to not have so much.
Hmm. That makes sense. Sometimes I remember when internet dating first came out, and I had several of my friends, because I was doing a series of articles on it at the time, had one of the most profound comments, which I thought was pretty accurate, was that it was really hard to take anything seriously because you could just go on and it was like going shopping for somebody new.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so with regards to sexuality, a lot of people are shopping online with regards to sex as well. They're shopping with regards to different subjects and things that they might not have thought about, different partners, different ways of doing it. And a lot of the intimacy that's required in the relationship is not coming through and is not there and is not practiced. And so once you get into a real life situation, it can be even more difficult.
That makes sense, because we don't have the skill set to work through it.
Absolutely, and even basic things like meeting new partners, getting to know people, building those relationships. If all your relationship building is online and all your people meeting is online, then you do lose some of those basic skills around how you talk to somebody new that you might like.
So how do we do that? Since I like to think of communication as almost one of the foundation staples of a relationship, how do we go from point A to point B, besides actually literally jumping offline and actually meeting people, which can be really scary sometimes, especially if you haven't been dating for a while?
It is very scary. And, you know, one of the positive things I think the internet brings us is that ability to meet people that we wouldn't necessarily meet, that may be outside of our circle of influence kind of on our daily life. So you can use it really positively. But it is going in with the expectation that whoever I'm chatting with online, I have to expect that I'm going to meet them in a fairly short amount of time. And if that expectation isn't there, then typically a lot of people, I think, find that they end up wasting their time, or they end up talking to people who maybe are more dishonest about who they are and what they are online.
That makes sense. And even with this day and age, too, it's still really important to have safety. But just try not to jump into anything that's soulless.
Absolutely, yeah. And really having that connection with another human being in real life is so important. I'm glad you bring up safety, though, because you're right, as you start meeting people online, if that's one of your expectations, then obviously you can be putting yourself in positions where you're more vulnerable. And so it's definitely important to be meeting people in public places, you know, getting a sense of, you know, phone numbers and that sort of thing ahead of time, maybe talking to people on the phone, is a good middle point between getting offline and practicing some of those communication skills.
I think that sounds really good. And letting someone know where you're going as well. Not just putting a note up on your fridge saying, okay, if I haven't been found for this, I went out with so-and-so, and that means I'm dead.
Absolutely. That's a great way, you know, just like if you're hiking or anything else you're doing that can be potentially dangerous. It's important for people to know who you're with and where you are. Absolutely.
And it's not just a parent thing.
No. No, although I imagine it can feel that way. And it's not just a young person thing as well. More and more older individuals are using the internet to meet new partners. And I think that in, you know, the age group of, you know, the 50-plus age group, a lot of times they can forget some of those basics around the fact that you really don't know who it is you're meeting. And you do have to take those precautions. It doesn't matter if you're a guy, if you're a girl. It doesn't matter if you're 20. It doesn't matter if you're 65, right?
No, I think that's great. One of the things I'm going to throw out there for our listeners who are listening in right now, if they are interested, there is an app actually that you can download on the iPhone called Tingle, which actually blocks your phone number. So then that way, if it's the first call and you're not sure if you want to share your phone number with somebody yet, it can be a safe way to do that.
That's a brilliant idea. Absolutely.
Even though that can work the other way around, too. My morbid sense of humor is going off. For couples that are wanting to explore, because I think in terms of, because you've to mention communication, and especially in regards to meeting people and sexuality, it's really, really important. But as relationships go on, where we go past the honeymoon period, where we're in the relationship, And then taking it to the next level. Sometimes for some couples, it's after having kids. Other couples where they've just been together for a long time and the experience, I like to call it bed death, where they almost avoid having sex.
Absolutely. And it's so common, unfortunately, and has a lot to do with a lot of different things that can be happening in the relationship. One of the things I always encourage people is if you're starting to avoid your partner sexually, if you're noticing that you're not having as much sex, it's absolutely worth your while to go in, meet with a psychologist, somebody who's specialized in sexuality, and, you know, have a couple sessions and deal with it right away. The hardest thing I find is when I work with couples who have been experiencing bed death, but for 20 years, 30 years, it becomes really hard then to turn back the clock. And sometimes it's some simple things that can change and make a really, really big difference.
What type of simple things?
Well, the truth of the matter is relationships, sex, it changes over your lifespan. And a lot of people get stuck with thoughts around, A, it's not like it used to be, right? It's not exactly the way it was when we were younger. Other thoughts that come up a lot is fears of inadequacy. And so when we talk about some of the pictures and some of the things that you see in pornography, some of the things that you see about sex, just that is advertised in general, it's all these perfect people having perfect sex all the time. Nobody has a hard time getting an erection. Nobody has, you know, kind of a moment where they may make some unseemly noise. Nobody has a moment where they're not, you know, looking their best at all times. And I find, you know, us mere mortals have a hard time when we're trying to emulate that perfection, that picture. And for a lot of people, it's really subtle. One of the things I'm going to be talking a lot about at this workshop I'll be doing at Taboo is all about how you think and how your thinking really impacts what you do, how you feel, and most times making changes with regards to your thoughts and having more positive thoughts will lead to a better outcome. Assuming your partner is doing things that are positive is a really good first start. We tend to, especially in longer-term relationships, we tend to get very focused on the fact that, you know, this person's doing something, but, you know, they're purposefully trying to piss me off, or they're purposefully doing something to irritate me. And everybody, you know, if you've got kids or if you're working or you have responsibilities, you've got 2-3 dogs, whatever it is, you know, we get tired, we get crabby, life isn't exactly this perfection. And so sometimes the person we don't cut any slack to is our partner. So those are some of the things that people can address in keeping their relationship happy. And, you know, that often is the start of bed death. It's just some of these negative thoughts we have about each other, and we think, oh, you know, he purposefully left the toilet seat up again. Instead of looking at the positives and the good things that we do have in our relationships.
And so how do we do that? How do we not take our partners for granted?
Well, it can be hard not to do it to begin with. I think it's important to acknowledge that. Most people struggle with that. But definitely taking the time to appreciate them. I'm a big, firm believer in date nights. I'm always yattering on to anybody who the importance of going out with your partner and spending time together. Life gets busy, life moves quickly, but that is kind of one really, really important piece of that puzzle. Whether you take, whether if you have very busy jobs, maybe you take, you know, one weekend a month and you go away, or you do a, I call them holidays at home, right?
I like
it doesn't
that.
Have to be expensive, but you kind of block off some time where you spend time together at home. Whether you have kind of a weekly date or every couple weeks, but it has to be something that is kind of predictable, where you both know it's coming, this is our time together, and it needs to be something that's enjoyable for both of you.
That makes sense, and it's got to be something that's of value as well in terms of it.
Just sitting in front of the television and watching TV does not count as a date night. It does not count as intimate moments. I know people like to cuddle with the TV, and you know, that's getting somewhere if you've got some physical touching going on. But too often, people just sit in front of the, you know, the boob tube, and they zone out, and they're not really communicating. They're side by side, but that's about all that can be said about it. So definitely turning it off and going for a walk, talking, playing a game, whatever. But anything that involves some interaction.
That makes sense. So I guess when a guy is out there, if you're listening and you want to basically watch television to increase your testosterone, which according to Dr. John Gray is very important for guys, and watching TV apparently helps do that. Just try not to do it always with us. So, quite frankly.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's so important to have something that you're really communicating that and that you're enjoying. So that's definitely like my first suggestion.
Okay.
And the other one is not to avoid sex. As life gets busy, people don't have sex as frequently, and it can lead to a drift that gets to that bed death because you just, the less you have it, you know, people develop hurt feelings, people start feeling maybe not important, and life gets in the way, and so all of a sudden you have this decline with regards to sexual frequency. So definitely the more sex you can have together, keeping in mind the life balance thing, you know, make sure you go to work, but the more that your relationship can also grow as well.
Mm-hmm. Would taboo be a good way to just get people talking about it, perhaps, say, for example, especially with hormonal levels changing with men and women as we age, especially with erectile dysfunction, as you mentioned at the top, where it's not something you see in porn, it's whereas it does happen in real life, and sometimes perhaps it may be difficult to have that conversation because it comes down to ego, where it's where they're almost embarrassed. What would be a good way to approach the taboo show in terms of getting your partner engaged, and especially if sex has been going on for a while?
Well, I think that's a great question. One of the things that I love seeing at the taboo show is the couples coming in, and because all of a sudden you've got that time together.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you get with going to taboo is a date night, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get time together to talk. There's no distractions. Well, there's distractions at the show, but there's no distractions outside of your relationship. And I find a lot of people really enjoy taking that time to talk about some of these sexual issues that they may not talk about at home. The other thing that it offers is a chance to talk about maybe different sexual activities that might be interesting to either partner. That they maybe are too shy to talk about, or they haven't brought up, or something they might want to try. And so you end up being able to have these really neat conversations around sexually what can be interesting. And, you know, it can be as easy as, hey, you know, look at this video. What do you think of that, right? And then you can get your partner talking about whether that's something that interests them or not. So definitely going to taboo can offer that. And there's workshops, of course. There's, you know, a chance to sit down and have some food and just talk and connect. So I think there's a lot of things that can be offered. If you're not in a partnered relationship, it doesn't mean you're not having sex, right?
No, definitely
and
not.
So, yeah, and so it's important to also be able to take that time if you're wanting to go with friends or as a group and look at your own sexuality and what some of your sexual goals are and what are some of the explorations and the physical piece, what part of sex is in your life, and what would you like it to look like? So it's kind of a really good time to do a little bit of a self-evaluation as well.
So I guess it's important for people to know to continue to date themselves, whether they are currently single or whether they're in a relationship, to
absolutely
see what's best in terms of their pleasure, as well as, of course, when they are actually in a relationship as well, examining that. And taboo gives them an opportunity to do that. Plus, it can be really fun, especially in the evenings where there's all sorts of shows going on the main stage. As you mentioned, there's some great workshops. When are the workshops that you're doing?
You know, it's a wonderful question. If you go online, all the information about the workshops and when they are happening, I actually haven't gotten the schedule yet,
okay.
But typically I do one or two workshops every day of the taboo show.
Oh, that's great.
So, Yeah, that's a good time to kind of come and talk a little bit about some of these relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to leave some time at the end of my workshops to talk to people one-on-one and individually because, you know, as we were talking about earlier, every couple is different, mm-hmm. every person is different, and everybody's kind of coming to taboo for different things that they would like to add to their sexual life and to their sexual experience. And the other thing, obviously, is I do have a booth there, and so I'm always really happy to talk to people as they come through and just, you know, have some of those discussions around how things are going and what interests them and what they're finding interesting at the show. So it's definitely, there's ways there to connect.
So there's fun, but there's also the intimacy as well and actually some healing that can happen is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I think if we're talking about bed death and making, helping people make choices that bring them closer to other people, sometimes what happens in relationships particularly is that our expectations of our partners are kind of out of whack.
Hmm.
We have created this society where everything is set on the nuclear family. Everything is set on really small groupings of people. And so we expect that all our needs can be met by our partner, and it's kind of one of the underlying ideas, right, with marriage, with partnership, with any sort of relationship that's kind of close. And it's not terribly realistic.
No.
You know, if you're married and you're in this relationship, and is that partner going to be able to meet every one of your needs? I don't think so. So really spending some time looking at appropriate expectations, what is reasonable to expect from our partner, and from there, being able to be more open, I think, to having some of our needs met by other people in the community and having a bigger sort of circle of intimacy, a bigger circle of close friends who can offer us what we need when we need it.
For some friends I've had that have experienced bed death, sometimes the thought automatically goes to, should we bring someone else into the relationship? And what are your thoughts in regards to that?
Well, I think, again, it really depends on each couple and why the bed death is happening in the first place.
Mm.
In situations where it's happening because there's some underlying conflict in the base relationship,
mm-hmm.
then probably adding another partner is not a great idea. Now, if it's happening because maybe there is this desire to have something different, something a little bit more spicy going on, maybe expand and become more intimate as a couple or as a threesome, then that's something that can be definitely looked at as a possibility. But I think having some really honest conversations around why is this happening in the first place is the first step for that.
I was just going to ask, what's a good way to actually breach that conversation?
It can be really difficult to have conversations around bed death to begin with,
mm-hmm.
right? Why do you not love me anymore? Am
yes.
I not physically attractive? Have I put on weight? And really looking at ourselves objectively is a hard thing for people to do. The first step, of course, is trying not to be defensive and trying to look at ourselves objectively. I always encourage people who are having this decrease in sexual interaction to kind of look first at, you know, if I step out of this for a minute, and if this is a situation that my friend is talking to me about, what do I see that might be contributing to this, right? Maybe I'm always at work. Maybe I never help with the dishes. Maybe I've put on weight and I've got the beer belly gut thing going on and my penis has shrunk up, right? Maybe there's different things that are happening that might contribute to why I'm not sexually attractive. Do I go to bed with my partner?
Mm.
Oftentimes what's happening is there's a delay between one partner going to sleep and the other partner going to sleep. So maybe somebody's up playing video games, or maybe somebody's up on the computer or doing extra work or whatever it is. And so partners stop sleeping together. You know, before I go to bed, do I brush my teeth? Do I take a shower? Do I make myself
mm-hmm.
physically interesting and appealing? Or do I just put on my big fuzzies and, you know, have my hair up and, you know, just essentially not look like I've made any sort of effort for that time together. Oftentimes, though, really there's conflict going on, and on some level. And sometimes it has to do with these expectations that people have of each other. Mm. Sometimes it has to do with just different personality styles, different ways of functioning that people struggle to accept. You know, some people like to be really, really close, and they like that absolutely intimate cuddle time. Everything is about being close and intimate all the time. And some partners really like to have a bit of distance. And I find that a lot of couples really struggle with that balance between being too far away and being too close. And how do you get that happy medium that makes everybody happy? Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that it's a good question to constantly ask all through the relationship, not just when things are not going well, but constantly, what can we do? What's working? What do we want to change?
Absolutely. And having some set goals. I love the fact that Taboo is in January, because it's kind of that time right after that everybody has set goals for the year.
That's true. And a couple of weeks after that, when they start to dwindle.
Exactly, right? So setting some of those goals around your relationship, around your sexuality, around what you're looking for, are some great ways to, you know, start moving forward in January about what you want your relationship to be. And if you can get into that habit of reflecting back and looking forward, then your relationship will continue to grow as well.
What can we do in regards to if they want to just have some fun, and in terms of bringing somebody else into the relationship, doing it in a safe way, that because I've heard things like, for example, having code words, for example, so if something's not comfortable, say the word, I don't know, strawberry or something like that, where that's a no, just to stop, whatever, and no questions asked, that it's okay. Those kinds of things, and picking somebody together, etc.
Absolutely, and there's some great resources, and Vancouver's a great town for that. Mm. There's a lot of resources and clubs and people that you can get information from, and some of those folks do come to Taboo. Online, there's lots of information as well about multiple partnerships, if that's something that you want to kind of look into, get more information about. There's definitely ways to do it in a safe way. Mm-hmm. But like everything else, you need to be thoughtful about it. You've got to do your homework. Definitely you don't want to be using drugs or alcohol when you're doing those things, because it is something that can go sideways.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, what is a safe way in a conversation to have with partner? Because sometimes I imagine that, and I know I've been guilty of doing stuff sometimes myself, where you agree to something sexually with someone because you want to try it, because you know they really want to try something. So whether or not it be a toy, whether it be a different position or another person in the bedroom, but basically where it doesn't make someone end up feeling sexually violated.
That's a really good question, because it is such a fine line between wanting to try new things and going past your level of comfort.
Yeah.
and oftentimes you don't kind of know you've gotten there until it's you're in the middle of it, and
exactly.
You're going, oh no, this is not at all working. How do I back out of this now?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I think the code word idea is a great one. And having a partner, if you are going to try some of these things, having a partner that you can really communicate well with. I find oftentimes things will go sideways like that if it's with somebody you don't know very well, if it's with a partner that you're not comfortable communicating, or a partner where you don't feel safe that they will accept what you're saying about your limits and your boundaries. This said, a lot of times when I have clients that talk to me, they'll say, you know, part of the problem is that their partner is not willing to try enough new things. And so there really has to be a balance there, I think, between what you're comfortable with today, what you may be comfortable with tomorrow, and looking at expanding if you can. Because sometimes people think, well, I would never, ever like this.
And then they try it.
It's great. Exactly, and they like it, right? And then sometimes, of course, you think, I will never like this. You try it, and you will never like that. And that's just the way that one goes. So really having that good, solid relationship where you can communicate, having a code word to get out of it, and, you know, maybe making some boundaries at the beginning around, I'm trying this for my partner. I'm trying this for you. I may not like it, and if I start freaking out, you need to be okay with me backing out of this.
So it comes down to the conversation again, right from the get-go, creating healthy boundaries, so it's a safe space to play in almost.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, communication and sex just go hand in hand. And, you know, things go sideways when there's no communication. It just seems to be a really repetitive sort of thing. If we're not talking to each other about what we're doing, what we're thinking, what are some of our desires, what are some of our fantasies, what are some of the things that we really want to do moving forward, then those things are going to cause problems because everybody's going in with a different song sheet. And you really need to be singing on the same song sheet if you're going to have good sex.
I may have to quote you on that. That's a great quote. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, I want to talk a lot more about the Taboo Show and how we can explore things as well. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
The 2012 UBC Student Leadership Conference, or SLC, is taking place this Saturday, January 14th. The theme for this year's conference is Breakthrough. The conference will focus on identifying obstacles, then equipping you with the tools and inspiration to break through to achieve your goals. There will be inspirational speakers, workshops on everything from time management to international service learning, involvement opportunities, and a chance to meet student leaders from across the campus. The keynote speakers this year are spoken word artist Sarah Kay, as well as the best-selling author Neil Pasricha, who wrote The Book of Awesome. Check out slc.ubc.ca to see all the content, enter contests, and to register to attend. Hope to see you there Saturday, January 14th.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca. Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Audiopile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca. Every year, for some time now, CITR Radio in Vancouver and a few independent and college radio stations around the globe have worked to give modern art a transmitter. The concept of giving art a birthday was introduced by French-born artist-slash-peacenik Robert Filliou. In 1963, he asserted that 1 million years ago there was no art. But one day, on the 17th of January to be precise, art was born when someone dropped a dry sponge into a bucket of water. 24 hours of radio art will broadcast midnight to midnight, January 17th, on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and online at citr.ca. Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Well, 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 if you're listening to us at Sexy and Van City Radio, you probably know that we have been talking about all things taboo with the lovely Dr. Lynn Pichet, who is going to be doing some workshops at the 11th Annual Vancouver Taboo Show, which is on January the 19th to the 22nd. And if you want to win tickets, you better tweet about it and just make sure you include at Sexy and Van City in your tweet that you want tickets, you want to go, or send us a message on our Facebook fan page at Facebook, Sexy and Van City Radio. So anyway, before the break, we were just chatting in regards to about all things taboo. And one of the things on the break that I was curious about was just in regards to whether some of the workshops had changed over the years that you've taught, Lynn.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I find with regards to the workshops is that people really keep getting tripped up by same sort of things. Mm. And I think that really has to do with the fact that sex does change kind of throughout our lifetime. And mm-hmm. so as it changes, we're always kind of running after the bus going, okay, what's happened? How come this is easier, harder? How can I make this better? And so the workshops over time have really focused on the thinking that people do in regards to themselves, in regards to their bodies, in regards to their partners, and in regards to what their sexual expectations are. And so we really spend time looking at those thinking patterns because it becomes really important to have a good, positive outlook on your partner, about yourself, about your sexuality, if you are going to improve your sex life and if you are going to make it more fun. A lot of people really struggle with body image, and so it's one of the topics that has been included in the workshops, just around, you know, what enjoying what we look like, whether we're male or female, and really kind of making that okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's particularly a sensitive topic for people who maybe not fit that image that everybody seems to think humans need to look like. You know, how boring would it be if we all looked the same? It would be awful.
That's true.
So really, that's one of the things that we talk about in the workshop. And the other one, of course, is just working towards and working through some of the life change pieces. The more that things evolve, the more people are trying to readjust their sex life with it.
Hmm.
Of course, a great example of that are some of the pills that we can take now to kind of rev up our erections if we're having erectile mm-hmm. difficulties and you know, maybe not deal with some of the underlying issues that may or may not be there. And for some people, it's been great and it's worked really well. And for other people, it's been kind of frustrating and the conflicts around sex are still there. So really trying to touch on some of those subjects.
What is the biggest thing that you've learned around doing the Taboo Show over the years? How has it changed in terms of your concepts of sexuality?
Well, I think that we really are kind of mere mortals with regards to sex. One of the things I think when you're young, and not that I'm not putting myself in that category, but is that you kind of think that sex is always going to be this absolutely incredible thing, but it's always going to look one way. And as you go through life and as you have work and children and all the rest, and you start aging and your body starts changing, I think that concept of sexuality really does change. And while people talk about this, while people talk about, you know, better sex as they get older, more intimate sex as they get older, I think that society is embracing that concept much more now and open to hearing some of the experiences from our older individuals who are still enjoying happy and healthy sex lives. So that's one of the changes. I think also kind of seeing such a wide range of people who come to the show, such a wide range of people and ages and sexes and well, I guess there's only two on that one, but but you get the idea. It's not just a show for young people. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that I see, you know, elderly people coming to Taboo, the more that I see people who really are at different lifespans and who are saying sexuality is important for me, and it's not because I'm X age that it's no longer important or it's more important or less important. So those are some of the really wonderful things, I think, that you can kind of start reflecting on when you do come to the show and see such a cross-section of the community.
Mm-hmm. In regards to people really feeling things in regards to their images and sometimes not feeling good enough that they shouldn't be having sex because they're not in the right shape, as internet is becoming more prevalent and we really are a fast food society, and I think of it in that way, just we're with Twitter, Facebook, everything, and I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else, but it makes me wonder, what's it going to be like for future generations, for say kids that are like five or six years old?
I think it's really going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the changes, you know, in the last 25 years with regards to technology, I think it's very hard to anticipate what it may look like for our really young people. Definitely, I think things around sexuality are going to change. We're certainly exposed to images and to ideas that people had to really kind of look for, even just a few years ago. And one of the concerns I have really comes down to the topic we had before the break, which was around how do we keep people connected with other human beings?
Yes.
How do we keep our communities connected?
And
because if we don't have that, then we become vulnerable. And I think that we're vulnerable on all sorts of levels,
mm-hmm.
but those basic social skills are really essential. And making a point of having a connection with a real person is really kind of the fundamental part of being human.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be an important concept for us to try to promote and model and encourage in our younger, you know, very young generation.
What if you could basically wave a magic wand and have people change their perceptions in terms of sexuality, what would you like it to be?
I would love for people to think that sexuality was fun.
Okay.
That it was joyful, that it was fulfilling, and not this task that is expected of you throughout your life. And I think that's one thing that we do lose over time.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fun of it, and just being able to kind of relax through that is a really important piece.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the unusual things that you've seen at the show? Because, of course, having a booth there, sometimes you get to see all the different things that they've had over the years.
You do. My favorite, of course, I like to do a lot of people watching. So, you know, if this is you, I'm very sorry. But my favorite is that they do a lot of body painting. And sorry?
I said, okay.
Aha, yes.
It would be ticklish.
They do a lot of body painting. And so people will kind of get their courage up and go get some body painting done and then kind of wander around Taboo. And it's very interesting to see, and this comes right back to body image, it's very interesting to see the people who are doing this feel very comfortable with their body, feel very comfortable with being, you know, semi-nude, essentially. You don't look naked, but you kind of are naked in a public place. And people with whom it makes really, really uncomfortable. And so it's interesting because you can tell, especially if you're sitting there watching folks for a while. But it really comes back to this conversation about, you know, when I try to push my sexual boundaries, sometimes it goes really well, and sometimes I don't feel so good. And really kind of watching people explore that and work with that, I think is priceless.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to be able to have some of those experiences. Teaches you a lot about yourself and what's comfortable for you and what's not comfortable for you. And I think that as long as you're doing it and being able to reflect on that and being honest with yourself about what worked, what didn't work, then it's a great sort of experience. So that's usually my favorite part.
What's next for you after the show?
What's
next for you after the show?
Well, I have a private practice, and so I tend to work with clients often that I've met at the show or that, you know, kind of look up my website and get some bit of information, and really enjoy working with people in trying to apply some of the stuff that we've talked about today. So in my private practice, it's wonderful for me to kind of connect with couples, connect with individuals who are wanting to improve their sexuality and really working at putting plans together so that they can get to that place. I also participate in the Fraser Valley Taboo Show, which is going to be in March.
Okay.
And so that also gives me a chance to kind of reconnect with folks and do some more workshops, and it's always a good time.
Mm-hmm. How are they different in regards to the Fraser Valley one versus, I've never been to that one versus the Vancouver one?
They're very similar.
Okay.
I think they really are. They are quite similar. I was going to say, you know, sometimes there's differences with regards to the workshops, obviously, and the people who are kind of coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's quite a good cross section with regards to each show, and sometimes for people who just aren't able to travel into Vancouver. Or if the timing is wrong, right, this ends up being your date weekend for the month, for example, and you're going out of town, then it gives you kind of an opportunity to get to another show in a shorter period of time. And I did, for those listeners who are interested, I did have a look at the schedule for the workshop.
Yay. When do they get to meet you?
Yeah.
At the Vancouver one at this point.
Exactly, yes. So this is the Vancouver workshops. So Thursday I'm there at 6:30. I'm there every day. Friday at 7:30. And Saturday I'm there twice, one in the afternoon at 1:30 and once at 6:30 in the evening. And then Sunday as well at 1:30. So there's definitely a lot of opportunity there to come and have a chat and talk about any concerns you might have, or just let me know that you heard me tonight. And I think that would be fabulous to hear that.
That would be really awesome. And if someone does want to explore in regards to finding out more about how they can fix their relationship or issues they may have in terms of sexuality, whether or not it's sexual addiction, whether it be just needing to explore more or just trying to heal from bed death and working with their partner, what are some steps they can do besides obviously contact you first and foremost through your website? And then from there...
Definitely, yeah, absolutely contacting me is something you can do. The other thing is there's other treatment providers that can assist as well. Mostly I find that when couples or anybody who's struggling with some of these issues or wanting to do something different with their sexuality, you know, I really think the first step is sitting down and really thinking about, what is it that I would like to get to? And I always encourage people to write it out and kind of have a plan. And from there, it's really interesting that once you have a plan, usually people find ways to kind of find things that can help achieve some of those goals.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely making your sexuality a priority is essential. I can't say how often I meet with people who have had sexual problems, who are having sexual problems, and have just put it on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
It's not important, it's just sex, I won't deal with it, it's our relationship, but the rest of it's okay. And they don't really address it properly, and it kind of drags on and on and on and on. So, you know, my big thing is make it important. Make it something that you need to look at. Your sexuality is a really important part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And while we don't want it, you know, unbalanced so that it's the only thing in your life, we definitely, it's important for you to have it as part of your life. And so really putting a plan together, making it important, and then seeking the help you need, you know, looking at some self-help books. There's a lot of great books out there that people can read to get some ideas and tips on how they can move forward.
What are some books that you'd recommend for people to kind of have that would be helpful in regards to just having a happy, healthy relationship?
Well, my two favorite books, one of them is oriented for guys, and it's called The New Male Sexuality. You might have heard about it. It's been around for a while. Yeah, Dr. Zebergelt. And all these books, by the way, are available online, so if you don't want to be seen in the chapters with the new sexuality under your arm, although, you know, you might meet somebody, definitely is a way to go. And for women, there's a great book called Sex Matters for Women. And it's similar to the New Male Sexuality, but it's really targeted for females. And it's a wonderful book. It's very thorough, lots of information in there. And so, you know, I think if you've got those two books, they're quite big, by the way, but you have a really good start in addressing some of these issues. And I recommend that guys read the woman book and women read the guy book, because you can learn a lot about kind of the opposite sex and how people are thinking and how things work. So those are my favorites.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So thank you. So any other comments that we didn't touch on during the show? Because I think we've covered a lot, actually, which is really exciting.
We really did. my big thing has a lot to do with this mix of, we've talked a lot about thinking. Maybe talking a little bit about physical fitness, in that, you know, to really enjoy sex and to have a good time, I made a joke about kind of, you know, losing your penis with the
yes,
stomach
you did.
Fat. But I think for both men and women, it's really important to be staying in good physical fitness as well, and good physical shape. And so making your physical health a priority is also essential for having a happy and healthy sex life. You know, if you're wheezing and if you can't do any sort of cardio activity, well, how are you going to keep up sex in the bedroom for more than 2-3 minutes before being tired and all sweaty? It really is an important part of it. And if you are in a partnered relationship, one of the things that I encourage is exercising together. So we had talked about kind of turning off the television, all testosterone aside. I think that if you can do that and replace that with some exercise, do something where physically you're together, you know, maybe stretching, holding hands, doing some weights together, that tends to make people feel pretty good. And it also increases that intimacy as well.
That makes a lot of sense. And of course, sex is exercise as well. I can't remember how many calories it burns per hour, but I think it depends on what positions that you're doing.
Exactly, and how hard you're working, or if you're just laying there, right? But sex isn't for the lazy. And so if you're just going to sit there and expect your partner to satisfy you all the time and to do all the work, eventually your partner is going to start getting a little irritated. And so really kind of looking at your physical health is an important piece. We haven't talked about it much today, but obviously everything that has to do with your cardiovascular system, so staying in shape so that you have good blood flow, important for orgasm, important for erection and ejaculation. So everything is connected. And I think that if we kind of take more of a holistic picture, that tends to work better for people.
That makes sense, because you do really need body, mind, and spirit, because all of that is involved when you are having sex. If you're having good sex.
Yes, exactly. If you're not happy, you're not going to have great sex. So you need to be happy together. You need to be happy with yourself. You need to kind of have some of that peace and that serenity that comes with being comfortable with who you are.
And sometimes that can take a lifetime.
Absolutely. And I suspect that some of the people talk about with regards to sex and aging has to do with starting to master some of those pieces. And people tend to master those as they get older. One of the things that I think is really interesting that we can learn a lot from is from people who are continuing their sex life in their older years, because those are some of the lessons that people need to hear. that eventually you can master these things. Eventually you can feel good about your body, even if it's not the body that you think you should have, or even if it's not the perfect body.
Mm-hmm.
It's still yours, and there's not another one out there like it.
That's so true. That's really true, and I think we forget about that sometimes.
Yeah. I remember somebody saying, well, you know, there's always somebody who will like a particular body type. It's not like there's a body type out there that everybody goes, oh, you know, I would never, ever, ever be interested in somebody who looks like that. I think as long as you're taking care of yourself and you've got good physical fitness and you're eating right and you're, you know, brushing your teeth and taking care of your physical needs, there are people out there. And I find that people do get a little discouraged in finding that perfect partner that's going to make them happy. And I definitely encourage people to keep searching and to keep trying to find that and not to give up.
And sometimes I want to just point out to listeners, sometimes that can be right in front of your nose. I know from myself, my partner and I've known him for 10 years and had no idea. And thank goodness, as he put it, I finally relented. So we've been together for several years now, and I'm really, really, really lucky. He's my best friend, and I love him to death. But almost missed out. So, because I had a very specific criteria list, and he's a smoker, so I would have never, ever. But I love him very much, so.
Exactly. Well, that's a great example, because you're right. You know, oftentimes what happens with these criteria lists is that you get too fussy, you get too set, kind of like you're grocery shopping, and of course you're not grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for a life partner. It's a little different.
It's so true. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
I've really enjoyed being with you and talking today, going over some of these really important topics.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're important.
I think
so.
They're
I would like
staples.
To thank you as well for having me.
You're welcome. And if you could just let me know what time, because for those of you who want to come check out the show and you want to meet Dr. Lynn Pichet in person, she's going to be doing some workshops at the 11th annual Vancouver Taboo Show. And it's from January 19th to the 22nd. And she's got several workshops over the days. And Lynn, if you just want to share the times again, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Thursday at 6:30, Friday at 7:30, Saturday, there's two workshops that I'll be giving, one at 1:30 and the other one at 6:30. And so that's a great time to kind of come in.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday as well at 1:30. So I really look forward to meeting your listeners and hopefully seeing you at the workshops.
I hope so too. So thank you so much. And everybody who's listening, please, I encourage you, take the time to explore who you are, your sexuality, and just make sure you've got happy, healthy relationships with everything. And I think it's a journey of a lifetime to really explore that, because as we've talked about in the show, it constantly evolves. So whether it be with your partner, because hopefully you're evolving and changing, and just really enjoy the journey, because it can be a lot of fun if you just let yourself go along for the ride and just trust that change is constant and it can be fun.
Absolutely. That's a great summary of what we talked about today.
Thank you. And up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the Sexy Hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone.